one of my friends, right? Radio Shack Mike. And God, this guy drove me crazy because listen, we both came in around the same time. And within 5 minutes, this guy's happy. He's spiritual. I'm happy. I'm spiritual, you know? And I want to kill the blowhard. You know what I mean? It's just two completely different experiences. I'm out of my mind, and he's happy. And this guy would do things like he was very pious. Like one day he'd come up to me and he'd go, Chris, do you have a pyramid over your bed? Chris, I put a pyramid over my bed. My life's never been the same. You know, the next week it'd be, Chris, do you use crystals? Oh, man, I'm rubbing some crystals. And you would not believe, life-changing. I'm going to get you some crystals. I'll have to get you the powerful ones. Chris, do you do affirmations? Oh, affirmations. So it's changed my complete attitude and outlook on life. I'm going to give you my book on affirmations. And I was trying some of this stuff, right? You know, like I'm looking in the mirror. Chris, you're a wonderful guy. You know, like in the mirror. Chris, you're a wonderful guy. I'm supposed to say it until you believe it. You know, I'm breaking the mirror. I'm a scumbag, you know. So I started to not really trust this guy very much. But he comes up to me with a set of 90-minute cassette tapes. He hands me these 90-minute cassette tapes. And he goes, I didn't care much for these guys, but something tells me you should listen to them. Now why he didn't care for these tapes, it's very clear to me today. The Joe and Charlie did not speak to this guy because he was busted with an 8-ball. That's why he was in Alcoholics Anonymous. He drank alcohol twice in his life. He was busted with an 8-ball. And his lawyer said, you need to go to treatment. You need to go start going to AA, get all the letters to the judge. So, yeah, he's like spiritual in 5 minutes. You know, I actually have alcoholism. And trying to treat alcoholism with affirmations is like trying to stop a semi with a cobweb. You know what I mean? But I don't know any of this stuff, right? But I listen to this Big Book workshop. And what it does was it alerts me to the fact that there may be more in this thing, Alcoholics Anonymous, than just going to meetings and getting mad at blowhard. So you know, my first experience with those tapes was not a good one because it went so at odds with what my experience was in the meetings. You know, I'll give you a typical discussion meeting in 1990 in my area. Somebody raises his hand, he'd go, yeah, my name's so-and-so. I was cutting the grass today and I noticed that the grass wasn't really being cut that much. So sure enough, I looked under the lawnmower, and the blade was dull. So I took the lawnmower into the garage, I took the blade off, and I took it down to the shop to be sharpened. And wouldn't you know it, I went down there without my wallet. It was just one of those days. Thank you for letting me share. And this is how sick I am. I'm like, will you shut up? I got a lawnmower too. I want to share. You know. That was my experience. So all of a sudden I start hearing this Big Book workshop stuff, and it's blowing my mind. So what I learned from that was, where I also have to be responsible, is I have to be responsible for a recovery program. I need to be responsible for consistent meeting attendance. It all starts there. I got to be with you. I got to be in my tribe. But there's also some spiritual work that needs to be done for me to heal from that toxic experience of self-consciousness, to quiet the voices. You know, here's a really, you know, Jay got me thinking about all kinds of stuff with his talk earlier. And here's one that somebody shared that really resonated with me. Okay, somewhere around 1850, there was a clockmaker in Maine. This guy had a clock shop, he'd fix watches and clocks, and he became known as a healer. He became known as a spiritual healer. His name was Phineas park